It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Taylor Talk. This is episode 57. I am your host, Adam.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Steve.
And Maya's being a party pooper tonight. She decided to go to bed. Huh.
Well, we are recording quite late, and even later her time.
Yeah, so we are fresh off of getting home from the ACMs tonight. I'm really, like, on a high right now. Like, I'm really excited. It was such a great performance, but we'll definitely get to more on that later. Talk about it. Talk about Taylor's performance. Talk about everything else that went on that night. But first, we have some calendar items to get through. So, Steve, if you could give us a calendar, please.
Tomorrow on April 8th, ACM presents Tim McGraw's Superstar Summer Night at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas. Going to have a lot of special guests in there. Taylor will be performing. And the entire show will be aired on CBS on May 19th, so go ahead and make sure you mark your calendars.
And also coming up in the calendar, the Red Shows will continue in Miami, Florida on April 10th, in Orlando, Florida on April 11th and the 12th, in Atlanta, Georgia on April 18th and the 19th, and finally in Tampa, Florida on April 20th.
Great. Thanks for the news, guys. Steve and Diane, everybody. Give them a round of applause.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyway, so there isn't much going on in the news right now other than the ACM Awards, which were tonight. As I said, the three of us were all there in attendance. It was a great performance, so we're going to get into that discussion now. The first thing I wanted to discuss is, you guys remember last year, Kevin Maguire, who was a teenage leukemia patient who asked Taylor to prom. Unfortunately, she could not make it to his prom, but she did invite him to the ACM Awards. Shortly before the ACM Awards last year, Kevin had to go to the hospital again. However, the good news is he did make it there with her this year, and I just thought that was awesome. If you guys remember correctly, the coolest thing, which I don't know if they actually televised or not, but I thought it was really cool, is before the award show, they had the CEO of the Academy of Country Music making announcements, and he actually introduced Kevin Maguire to everybody there, saying he is in the audience today. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that was really nice of him to do that.
So Kevin finally got his thing. Not much to discuss. That's really cool. There's definitely pictures circulating around the internet of Kevin and Taylor together. Next thing I wanted to discuss and just get reactions to from you guys more than anything is before the award show started, which it was hosted by Blake Shelton and Luke Bryan, right? Now, last year, if you guys remember correctly, Blake Shelton made a few cracks about the whole Taylor Swift, Tim Tebow thing that was in the news. He must have gotten a ton of backlash because he was actually quoted before the award shows as giving a warning to Luke Bryan, do not mess with Swifties or you are going to endure their wrath. And I thought that was one of the funniest things ever.
Well, Blake Shelton just knows how it is. Like, if something happens and the fans don't like it, like, they're going to react and say something. But I mean, in Blake Shelton's and Luke Bryan's show opening spiel, they didn't mention Taylor at all, which was interesting because in most shows they, like, always make at least some comment about her being there, and in this one they didn't say anything. So I guess Luke Bryan was like, all right, I'm gonna take your advice and not make any cracks about Taylor.
Right. I believe, was it last year or the year before with Blake showing, like, the surprise face that Taylor...
Yeah, that was last year.
Yeah, that was last year. That was the surprise face, the Tebow jokes, you know, you name it, Blake Shelton said it. So yeah, I guess Luke Bryan heeded Blake Shelton's warning and did not make any jokes to piss off Swifties. However, well, Luke Bryan did find a way to piss off the Swifties anyway.
But it wasn't his fault, so that's not really fair to say.
You're right, it wasn't his fault, but I'm sure what everyone knows we're talking about is Luke Bryan did beat both Blake Shelton and Taylor Swift, among a few others, for the Entertainer of the Year award. And, you know, the social media tonight has been lighting up with backlash on that. So I wanted to speak about that with you guys for a little bit. Like, do you think that's fair for all these Swifties to be attacking Luke Bryan as a result of that?
Well, I think a lot of them may have not been attacking, but more like just very disappointed with, you know, the point that they thought the ACMs were rigged or something like that. But I don't believe that to be true. I'm still searching for the information, but I heard somewhere along the lines that, you know, it is a fan-voted award, but that doesn't mean that the entire win is determined by the fan vote. That is actually just a percentage. I'm still looking for details. There's very little information out there about it, but I have heard that before, so I have a feeling that that may be true, that, you know, there she could have won in terms of the fan aspect of it, but for the rest of the industry pieces of it may have went in favor of Luke Bryan for him winning it.
Right, so basically the Academy, which chooses who wins all the non-fan voted awards, does in fact have a say in the Entertainer of the Year vote, is what you're saying.
I believe that's the case. Don't quote me on that because I'm still trying to find good sources on that, but there's very little information that I can find out there about it.
No, that makes sense that they would have some say in that. However, you know, that's still a little deceptive. I think they should make that a little more clear, because there are, in fact, like, look at all the reality shows, all the talent shows on TV and things like that. The ones, what am I thinking of offhand that's like, isn't Dancing with the Stars, I believe, half fan voted and then half judge voted?
You may be right. I don't know.
I know there's some of those reality shows that are like that, and they're very clear about the fact that part of the decision is made by fan vote and part of the decision is made by the actual judges. This wasn't very clear. It made it seem like it was an entirely fan voted award.
But from that aspect, it would seem that Taylor would almost have to win. I mean, just by looking at the tweets that were going around the internet, you know, she tweeted a couple of hilarious pictures out there, her with Meredith, not much going on, right, meow, and her, you know, about the unbearable, and then also the do it there with, you know, her trying to hit the pinata. And, I mean, those lit up the internet. So from that aspect, you would think, I mean, now you got to think we also only get one vote. It wasn't like we could constantly vote, but Taylor has probably one of the largest fan bases of any country music star right now. So I know that Luke Bryan is definitely popular, but I don't know if he really has the numbers, especially worldwide, because I know for a fact that there were people that were voting, you know, worldwide. I don't know if that's how that's actually supposed to work or not, but you would think that there would be no doubt that she would be able to win a third year in a row.
You know, there were definitely people from around the globe voting using United States zip codes to register to vote. So, I mean, is it possible, do you think, that the ACM people knew that and they actually canceled a lot of those votes?
I don't think that they may have canceled the votes, but that's also why I think there may be other pieces to the voting other than just strictly 100% fan vote, to kind of keep things balanced. So, you know, in the case that the industry is actually leaning towards another artist, but yet the fans may have, you know, got their portion. But if it's only, I'm guessing it would be somewhere in the neighborhood of probably like a 20 to 30% vote would be the fan voted piece.
That's kind of a small percentage when you think about how much they push fans to vote for this, like, award, and they don't even really take it into that much thought, you know, they just like, okay.
Into consideration. Yeah,
yeah. Into consideration.
Here's something interesting, an interesting theory. Diane, I know we were talking about it a little bit in the car ride when we left the ACM Awards, is that there are a lot of, I feel like a lot of Taylor's fans were passive in this voting, in the sense that they were like, oh, I'm aware that the voting's going on, but I don't really need to vote because Taylor's just going to win it anyway.
Right, but I mean, I guess it turns out that that doesn't even necessarily matter, because if the Academy is going to use different standards to pick who wins, if they don't take the fan vote into that much thought, then I mean, I guess, like, maybe doesn't matter if we vote? Like, is that what we're learning from this? Like,
no, I think it matters that we vote. I think this Taylor's loss tonight was a combination of factors. I think it had to do a lot with the Academy saying the award, and also a lot with the passive fans that are basically just saying, I don't have to vote. I mean, so many people are already voting for her. She's just going to win it anyway. I think it was a combination of those two factors. Steve, do you have any thought on that?
I think that sounds right. I mean, you get to the point after you win 2 years in a row, it's kind of, some people get to the point they think that, oh, we're unstoppable. You know, it's gonna, this is gonna continue on and on. And one of the things I brought up, I had a little blog that I wrote up, that really this was a very critical year. Like, for Taylor to win this year would do crazy stuff, because first off, she would have three consecutive ACM awards, and there had only been about four people that did that. It was Alabama, Garth Brooks, Kenny Chesney, and Hank Williams Jr. So it's not something that happens all that often. So it's a real big deal. And then not only that, from everything that I saw, there has not been a female artist that has won Entertainer of the Year more than 2 years.
So she would have been the first female to ever do that had she won tonight.
Correct.
Huh. It was rigged. No, I'm just kidding. They sabotaged her.
Oh, let's hope not.
No, but seriously, I'm just kidding about that. Like, the vote is very important. I really don't think it was sabotaged. That was a joke. Definitely still vote for her next year. I can't imagine her not being up again next year. Hopefully she is. Hopefully we see her win again next year like she did the last 2 years. It is just kind of a letdown for Taylor. It's a letdown for our community. It is what it is. I mean, Luke Bryan is a talented artist, and I mean, he appreciated it so much. He nearly broke down in tears. He couldn't even stand at the end. Blake Shelton actually supported him after he won the award. He was so happy.
Yeah, that was a really sweet moment.
Adam, I have one more thing to add into that. And it actually goes to the point that even though the ACMs are taking place in 2013, all the award winners are actually based on what they did in 2012. Now, going with that aspect of it, first off, Taylor did have her album come out there in October, so it was only the last couple of months that that would really apply. Also, she wasn't really doing much touring on that. The Red Tour did not start until, you know, more recently here in 2013. So if there is a portion that is decided by members of the ACM community, that probably played a large role into it, because right now Luke Bryan has been out on tour and has been bringing a lot of new artists along with him, and he's been doing that this past year.
You're right, and I believe one of the factors as well that goes into the Entertainer of the Year award is how much they do for the country music community. And I'm glad you brought that point up, that he's been bringing other people along for the ride with him, because I think that's a huge part of it, is introducing younger artists to the community. Because that really strongly affects the growth and sustainability of country music.
And not that Taylor hasn't, because obviously Florida Georgia Line ended up winning New Artist of the Year, and that's humongous achievement for them. That's where actually a lot of artists got their start. I know that they were running through a little clip there. They were showing, like, Brad Paisley, and he said how important winning that award really was for his career. You know, there's also Brett Eldridge has been out on some of the tour dates, and they have some other people lined up. So Taylor has her own, you know, new artists that she's bringing along too. But at least in 2012, in terms of touring, Luke has probably done more for that than Taylor has, mainly just based on timing. That's all it is. Nothing that's saying that his tour is better than hers. Definitely not. But
right, which is why I probably should have specified that, because the timing is of the utmost importance, because when you're talking about the award from the previous year and you look at the fact that she did win it last year, 2012, for the year of 2011, which was of course the Speak Now World Tour, and look what's happened to people she brought along on Speak Now, like specifically Hunter Hayes, who blew it up tonight, which was awesome. We'll get to more on that later. Charlie Worsham, who we had here on Taylor Talk on episode 4, actually. He played at the Expo over at the Orleans Hotel. So people that she has brought on tour really are making their way in country music now. But that was in 2011 that she took all them
right
with her.
And then her award that she would have got in 2011, which actually was reflected in the 2010 year, was when she was actually doing the world tour part of the Speak Now tour, going to all the countries through Europe and Asia.
So that's cool, but enough about the depressing part about her losing. Let's move on to some of the good parts of the show. What was your favorite part of the show?
Favorite part that doesn't have to do with Taylor, or favorite part that no, has just to do with Taylor.
Any well, okay, without Taylor, because obviously we're going to get to her performance shortly. So any part besides Taylor?
Oh, that's such a hard thing to pick, because I think all the performances were really just mind-blowing. Like, gosh, we saw Eric Church, Carrie Underwood, Lady Antebellum. I love Lady Antebellum. They were great. And Blake Shelton, actually, he came out into the audience to sing an acoustic version of his song, Sure Be Cool If You Did, which I thought, I mean, it was nice to see him kind of take things a little bit slower, because he's usually kind of, you know, like this big tough guy. He's a jokester, and it was nice to see him, I guess, show a little bit of emotion for about 5 minutes. So I think that was my favorite part.
I'll tell you what my favorite part is. Hands down, I mean, there were a lot of good parts of the show. For instance, Hunter Hayes and Stevie Wonder was a very cool one. But for me, the biggest one would have been Garth Brooks and George Strait and the tribute that they did to Dick Clark. There are just so many aspects of it. First off, Garth Brooks, other than his recent performances that he's done in Las Vegas there at the Wynn Hotel, he really hasn't done any touring or anything for years and years, and he is probably one of the biggest people that has brought country music into the mainstream, which is really where your current artists have really been taking off from there with this. Because country music, I swear, is bigger now than it's probably ever been. You know, everybody is aware of it. These award shows are broadcast all on national television. Country music fans and non-country music fans alike are watching these shows. And George Strait is just a legend in his own right. To have the two of them on stage, and even to the aspect of Dick Clark and tributing to him, because the ACMs and everything in terms of their performances and everything that they've done has all been a Dick Clark production. Pretty much, I don't know exactly when that started, probably back in the 60s or 70s. But, you know, he's also done great things like New Year's Rockin' Eve, which is another piece of music history, and American Bandstand before that. Is, you know, Dick Clark really revolutionized how we watch music on TV.
Yeah, that was very cool. I wasn't a big fan of the song, but it was very cool. The whole idea and concept of it was definitely really cool. I agree with you on that. If I had to pick a favorite part of the show, something probably the most unique thing that happened tonight was during Little Big Town's performance.
Oh, with the bed and the, like, the two, I guess...
Yeah, acrobats.
Acrobats, right.
So what they did, for those who didn't get a chance to watch, is when you were looking at the stage, it was basically like you were given a bird's eye view of a bedroom. So they had a giant bed that was lifted vertically on the stage, and they had two acrobats that were strapped to wires, and it was like they were sleeping in bed, and they did this whole very graceful act in the air as if they were in bed. It was the weirdest thing. It was the coolest thing. I've never seen anything like it. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, that part was that falls under the category of mind-blowing. I think that was the theme of the whole night.
Theme of the whole night.
Yeah.
So, speaking of mind-blowing, who stole the show? Just the name.
I'd have to go with Miranda. I mean, she won a ton of awards, and she had so much emotion in everything that she's done, and the people that she was, you know, referring to that she wished that she could be like. And I kind of almost got a little misty-eyed there myself.
See, and why am I always disagreeing with you, Steve? Seriously.
It's all good.
But I think the night was stolen, and this could be very stereotypical. Everyone's like, yeah, of course. Stevie Wonder. I mean, the fact that we were sitting in the presence of a living legend was just a really overwhelming and overpowering feeling for me.
It was a great performance, and it was nice to see. Country music always seems to do that part where they want to try to integrate and show that they are, I don't know, they kind of cross over to other genres, or other genres of music work very well with them. So it was great to see something of a little bit of R&B come in there. And Hunter Hayes and Stevie Wonder were like seamless in their performance together.
Well, Hunter Hayes, from what I understand, really looked up to Stevie Wonder. That was like his hero. So for him, that was a very big moment. Which is just, it's crazy to see how far he's come, and that was really cool. But Stevie Wonder's finale performance, he of course did two songs. He did one with Hunter Hayes, and then he also did the finale of the show. And the finale in particular was the moment. It was loud. It was powerful. Everybody was on their feet singing, dancing. I think Stevie Wonder stole the show tonight, which is unfair to say because he's, like I said, a living legend. So, you know, that's my opinion. You guys think what you want. The performance of Taylor is next. That we've got to get into, of course, because for the first time ever, she did a live performance of Highway Don't Care with Tim McGraw and Keith Urban on guitar. So I'm gonna just ask you guys, say the first word that comes to mind when you recall that performance.
Awesome.
Mind-blowing.
I was going to go with mind-blowing. Aside from Stevie Wonder at the end, they got the loudest applause. They got standing ovation. You had three massive superstars on stage doing a song they had never done live before. It was just so cool. But, you know, I just want to break it down a little bit for everyone. So the set itself was, as you'd expect, it was kind of set up to be like a highway going into the distance with some lighting. Very simple. It just had some lights, yet there was something. They didn't have to do anything extravagant like some of the other artists did. They just had to do their thing.
Well, that was one thing. I saw some comments on Twitter about people talking about Luke Bryan and the lasers. You know, it was like one of those things that, you know, what could he possibly have that would make this even better? Wow, lasers! You know, it was kind of silly in a way. I'm always worried about getting blinded by a laser or something like that. And he was like, it was like the lights were like right on him, at least from my vantage point. But that particular performance there, it was very simple, but it played to the strengths of all three of them. That's what it was about. It was about, you know, singing back and forth between Tim McGraw and then Taylor and then Tim and then Taylor, and then Keith just comes in, and I mean, he's a guitar master. If anybody had any question on how great of a guitar player Keith Urban was, they found out tonight that he was one of the most amazing.
You know, of everything, obviously of those three, I am the biggest fan of Taylor. Out of those three, obviously I'm hosting Taylor
really?
Talk right
I
now.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I can't stand that Taylor Swift girl. She's so horrible. No.
Now you're going to get hate email or something about that. Don't say that.
I'm just kidding. Of course I love Taylor Swift. Right. What kind of question is that? But of those three tonight, Keith Urban on guitar was the one that gave me chills. When he came forward, the setup was obviously, because it is basically Tim McGraw's song, he was in front, and then Taylor and Keith were kind of behind him on either side. When Keith came to the front to do his guitar solo, it brought me to tears.
You cried, really?
No.
They were man tears. They weren't like real tears.
Okay, so your eyes just, like, sweated or something gross like that?
Just a little
yeah,
tickle in his eye.
But yeah, Keith was tearing it up out there. I've never seen someone play the guitar that well, and it blew my mind.
Well, I think part of it is we're not used to... When you listen to the song, you really don't get that Keith Urban piece of it there because you're not seeing it in action, and it could just be anybody playing guitar. You know, there's a lot of great guitar players out there, but to see him actually there just shredding away just is nuts.
And getting really into it. Yeah, definitely. Something I thought was interesting, though, was at the end of it, the song, when we did our initial song analysis on Highway Don't Care, whichever episode it was, a couple episodes ago, you know, we thought that the additional male vocal at the end was Keith Urban. However, they had backup vocalists, and it was actually Tim McGraw doing the part that I originally thought was Keith Urban. What I'm questioning, though, is on the album, is it in fact Keith Urban, or is it just some random person?
I don't think it is Keith Urban. I'm guessing that really his whole part in that whole song is just the guitar.
Well, you know what? Let's take a time out really quick, and I'm going to look it up. All right, and we're back from the break, which was about 2 seconds for you guys, about 5 minutes for us. But fortunately, editing magic works its way into the episode. Now you guys are back with us. So I just looked it up. It turns out that we were actually mistaken. So here's our official retraction. According to Wikipedia, which again, you know, take that with a grain of salt, but in this case, I think it's accurate. the vocals were entirely Tim McGraw and Taylor Swift. Keith Urban, even on the recorded version, has nothing to do with the vocals, according to Wikipedia. That answered that question. So, guys, just wrapping up our discussion about the ACMs. Taylor, Tim, and Keith's performance, on a scale of 1 to 13, Diane, what would you give it?
I would give it a 13, just because I was so honored to be in the presence of, like, three of the most successful country artists that there are, and it was just so great seeing them on stage. So, I mean, they just blew me away.
In the presence of such greatness.
I was.
All on one stage.
There was a lot of that going around tonight. Even the earlier performances were, you know, that very first number when they had Blake and Luke, and then all of a sudden the Pistol Annies came out and Sheryl
Crow
came out.
Brad Paisley.
They just had everybody on stage at that point.
They did. I think that was the thing. They're like, how many people can we collaborate together to have them do performances? I mean, they even had those shots where they had Brad Paisley and John Mayer. Wasn't
Brad
really
Paisley
impressed.
Brad Paisley and Hunter Hayes.
Yeah, that was definitely that was the better of the two.
There were a lot of collaborations tonight, but I think Tim, Taylor, and Keith were the best. From an unbiased perspective, of course.
Obviously.
Oh, of course.
Totally unbiased. But Steve, what would you give it on a 1 to 13 scale?
I'm going between 12 and 13. I mean, it was just everything that I hoped it would be. That was one of the things. We have not seen that live yet, so I'm going to go 13. Let's just go with that.
Attaboy. Me, personally, I'm going to give it, I don't even know, 113.
You can't do that.
That's cheating, Adam.
Yes.
It's my podcast. I can give it 113 if I want.
But that's not even a valid score. It rounds down to 13.
I can't help it. You know, man, how do I word this? The best way to word this. You know, I went to a few of the Speak Now shows, and I was overwhelmed by the massive stage production. Nothing has brought me to tears like this performance tonight.
And there really was no stage production. I mean, that if I would take off any points, it would be for that there really wasn't any sort of fancy stuff going on. It wasn't very big set or anything like that. But
it didn't need it.
Exactly.
It didn't need it, Steve.
I agree.
Like, it was such an overwhelming. Their voices were so powerful. Keith on guitar was so powerful. Like, it didn't need it. It was so amazing that I don't know. I can't even describe it in words what it was like actually being there. I hope the TV performance did it justice so everyone at home can feel as excited as I feel to have just seen that performance.
My question is, I don't even think that the music video that they released can beat that, but we'll have to see, because I know that I saw some discussion going around that they've recorded the music video for that, so I'm sure we'll be seeing that pretty soon.
Ooh.
Yeah, I hope so. I believe Taylor made an appearance in it too, didn't she?
That's what it was rumored, so we'll have to see.
Rumors, take them with a grain of salt. If they come true, excellent. If not, don't be disappointed.
I just want to clear up a rumor that I started there last week, and actually the week before, with, I guess I was confused when the ACMs noted that Taylor was performing. I assumed that she was performing one of her own songs just by herself, because when you look at that and you say, oh, well, Taylor's performing, well, really, Tim was performing, and he had people come out, just like any of the other performances. So really, to say that she was performing almost was a little
deceptive.
Yeah.
That's like the theme of the night, ACM deception.
ACM deception, mind-blowing edition.
They're after us. They want to get us. Those Swifties, we hate them.
I don't, that's definitely not the truth at all, but it's kind of hard to, when you see her up for that many awards and then to come home empty-handed, it is always disappointing. I mean, I saw people were tweeting about the sad look on her face, but anybody that's going to lose is going to, you know, there is that sadness. But I really felt for Taylor tonight, because we did everything we could, at least I thought that we did, for Entertainer of the Year. She was up against some tough competition for a lot of that stuff, and maybe next year will be a different year. I mean, a lot of red stuff will still be available for that next year, because that was the other piece. A lot of people were commenting about how certain songs and items that won actually won it like last year's and previous year's awards. It's like, this thing's been out since 2011. How can this possibly win? So I think there is a little stretch on that sometimes where it doesn't have to be that particular year that something applies.
Okay, that's fair. So overall, Taylor's performance tonight got two 13s and 113 from our panel. It was a great performance. If you guys haven't watched it yet, I'm sure it's on YouTube. You'll be able to find it. But moving along with our episode, we're going to go on to a mini segment called What Are Swifties Listening To, where we introduce you guys to music suggested by, well, you guys. These are all submitted by listeners of Taylor Talk. This week, the Swift Factor on Twitter suggested that Swifties listen to Come On, which was a collaboration by Panic at the Disco and Fun. It came out in 2011, which I don't know how I didn't know about this, because I love Fun. Don't we all? Sorry.
I'm glad you're so passionate, Adam.
It sounded kind of funny when I said that afterwards, but aside from loving Fun, I also love Panic at the Disco. I got some local pride there from here in Vegas, so I love them a whole lot. I listened to it. It's a pretty cool song, so I think people should definitely give that a listen. So have you guys heard it yet?
I have not.
No?
I have not, but I'm sure you will make us listen to it after we record.
You know me too well. You're definitely going to listen to it soon. So thank you to the Swift Factor for sending that in. Next thing we're going to do is another episode of Wheel of Taylor, pinning Steve up against Diane just like we did last week. This is going to be a lightning round. It's going to be first person to answer rather than each of you getting your own question. You ready for it?
You know what's probably going to happen?
We're both
silence.
Yeah, we're both going to get this wrong. We're just going to sit there in silence until, like, do you got a countdown or something? How's this work?
I don't know. I just hope one of you will finally answer.
And if not, Adam will have to tell us the answer.
Yeah. So, based on tonight, the question for this week for you guys in our lightning round, whoever can answer it first, is how many Academy of Country Music Awards has Taylor Swift won?
No,
ready?
I
go.
I was going to look this up before we recorded. What's wrong with me?
I'm going to say, I'm trying to think if she got a female vocalist of the year. I'm just going to go with three.
I'm going to go with four.
You're both wrong. The correct answer is six.
Oh.
In 2008, she won Top New Female Vocalist. 2009, she won Album of the Year for Fearless, as well as Crystal Milestone Award. In 2011, she won the Jim Reeves International Award, which was a huge, huge deal.
Oh, I was there for that. That was in Nashville. Yeah, that was at the ACM Honors.
Yeah, so that was a huge deal. She also won Entertainer of the Year that year and 2012. And then this year, as you guys know, she unfortunately did not take any awards home tonight. But next year's a brand new year, so we'll go for it next year, right?
Right. Yep.
So everybody out there listening, you can, of course, provide us with feedback on the show as well as submit to the mini segments. We have all our various ways of contacting us. You can email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us to TaylorTalk13. Or you could leave us a voicemail to area code 240-31-SWIFT or a voicemail directly on the website, taylortalk.org. Or the coolest, newest method, which really is several months old by now, but you can actually send a text message to the area code 240-31-SWIFT as well. So we look forward to hearing from you guys. Also, a friendly reminder, if you love us, rate us. You can go on iTunes, give us 5 stars out of 5 stars. You can leave reviews. That way other Swifties can find us and you guys can share us. iTunes works like that. If you're rating us with good ratings and stuff, they'll suggest us to other people. So we would really appreciate if you guys can help us out. It would be really nice of you, right?
Well, you're helping other Swifties. It's a great idea.
Thanks for backing me, Steve. I appreciate it.
Welcome, sir.
And so this has been episode 57, our special ACM episode. My name is Adam.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Steve.
And we will see you guys all next week. Have a great day, guys. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye, guys.
This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.